right, men, good morning. Good morning. As Charlie said, my name is Dan DiCriscio, the location leader down on the south side, the southeast, Grant Park. And thank you for that tip on the zoo. And didn't think about that. We could go over there sometime. Well, man, I'm sure a lot of us in here, we like sports, right? We like sports, different type of sports. How about post-game interviews? Post-game interviews. You know, I mean, Dabo brought a tear to my eye last year with his post-game interviews, and a tear probably to some other people for other reasons, yeah. What's the standard post-game interview that you hear out there? You know, it sort of fits a script, you know. We're just trying to get the W. I was just doing my job. It was the O-line. It was the D-line. All glory goes to God. We've heard it. We've heard it 100 times, right? But what happens when people go off script? Go off script, and they put the I in team. It sounds awkward, right? You're like, oh, what are they talking about? Well, there's a Swedish soccer player. His name is Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Hopefully I got that right. He plays now for the LA Galaxy, and he's not known for his humility. Here's a few of his famous post-game interview quotes here. After a match-winning performance with the Galaxy, Ibrahimovic said, I heard the crowd saying, we want Zlatan, we want Zlatan, so I gave them Zlatan. He's known for speaking in the third person. Imagine that. Once he said, I can't help how perfect I am. And finally, no one can forget his comment right before the World Cup playoffs a few years ago. He said, only God knows who will go through. That would be the playoffs. And then the reporter said, well, I'm sure it'd be hard to ask him, Zlatan. And he said, no, you're talking to him. Ooh, whoa, I know. Big commandment breaker there. Okay, so look, we react negatively to that for various reasons. It grates against us. Why is that? Well, I think there's something deep down inside of us in our heart of hearts, in our most sober-minded moments, that we know it's not all about us. We know that there's a team. There were trainers, there were coaches. And for those in business here, we know that we've had mentors, we had other people that have given us breaks, given us chances, who's protected us, who's invested in us. But when we talk sports and we talk business, you hear a word that comes up quite frequently. It's about the will, you know, imposing my will. Will. You know, you hear the saying, where there's a will, there's a way, right? When we hire salespeople, we say that they need to have the skill and the will to be successful. So we're going to talk about the will today. So men, open your Bibles to James 4:13 through 15. 4:13 through 15. And I'll read this here for you. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Now, I know we got a lot of business guys in the audience there, and I'm sort of a reluctant business guy. You know, I got out of college, I met my future wife who just graduated with an engineering degree, and I was a drummer that just wanted to play in a rock band and tour the United States in the back of the van. So I thought, I got my meal ticket right here. Well, 15 years later, I'm selling toilet paper. God's will, God's will. Thankful for that. But this is such a business guy's passage. Right? I mean, I don't know about you, but the first time and the many times I look at this, the first thing I think about is, geez, I have violated this probably about 1,000 times in my life. Because if you're in business or anything else that is challenging or difficult, you probably make plans. And those plans a lot of time involve, you know, increasing compensation or profits, or at the very least, you know, going to some particular location and developing a business or developing something or creating something or at least spending money over a period of time. So the question is, you know, what's James up to here? What's he telling us? What's he saying? Well, I think we need to call a lifeline out to a little bit of wisdom. And for that, many times, where we go? We go to Proverbs. So let's take a look at Proverbs here. Proverbs 16:9. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And in the same way, in Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So I find an interesting relationship there in this scripture here. You know, the writer of Proverbs is, you know, generally pretty neutral on the whole plan-making thing. I don't think making plans is necessarily the problem here. I mean, it's just something that has to be done. I mean, God is what? He's created us with a mind. He's created us with a mind. He's given us a creative mandate to go create value creation from His creation, stewardship. We were just talking about that with Hobby Lobby, stewardship. Making plans helps that along. But what we see here is that these plans that we make, they are subordinate. They're subordinate to an overall plan, in that the Lord actually establishes the steps. The purpose of the Lord is what will actually stand and stand the test of time. Now, in our postmodern, post-truth culture here, the phrase submission is a dirty word. A dirty word. But it's actually a beautiful word. Submission means submission, under mission. It's under mission. Like submarine means underwater, or subfloor means under the floor. Submission. You see, our plans, you know, when thought of correctly, they're under submission, under the mission of God's plans. They're under His missions. Our plans are important. It's important that we're making them, but they are under His mission. Just like if you're in lower or middle management, your plans got to do what? They got to roll up. They got to be in sync. They got to roll up to the overall business plan. They're with respect to the bigger plan. As some of you men know, I work at Kimberly-Clark, a big toilet paper company up in Roswell, Georgia. And one of the hardest things that we do every year is roll up the number. And you hear a couple of laughs in here. You know what I'm talking about here. Roll up the number. And what is it? It's taking, at least for us, you know, all the national accounts, the inside sales, the marketing, the regional sales numbers. And for us, rolling them up to what Dallas, as we affectionately call them, our corporate office, what Dallas says we got to grow for the year. And what's that exercise sort of look like? Sometimes it's a little bit like herding cats. And why is it hard? Because many times there's sort of those teams out there that are sort of doing what is good, right, and true in their own eyes, and they're not synced up with the main plan. They're not synced up with the main plan. And then what happens? Numbers, objectives, they're all a mess. It's inefficient. There's stumbling blocks. They get in the way. Our vice president of sales, a couple of years ago at one of our national sales meetings, he said, for us to grow together, we got to row together. To grow together, we got to row together. We got to be in sync. So if you're in business, or you're in a boat, and you're rowing in the opposite direction that boat is going, what's going to happen? It's not going to turn out well. Whose will are you imposing there? Whose will is that? So that brings us to the question of the day. What is the will? What is the will? Will can be defined as energy, passion, or drive. Like, where there's a will, there's a way, as we were talking about earlier. I prefer connecting will to the word volition. So what volition means, it's a simple definition here. It is the power of choosing or determining. The power of choosing or determining. So in context here, I think what James is warning us, men, this morning is, and how often do I miss this? How often do we miss this? Our lives are under the power of God's authority, His choosing and determination. It's not the other way around. It's not the other way around as much as we think it is sometimes. It's not the other way around. Submission of God's choosing and determination, this is what James is saying, is that when we miss that, or we ignore it, or we suppress it, it will likely not go well with our souls. It will likely not go well. And men, if you have children, you know what I'm talking about here. Because in your house, you have what? The power, along with your wife, of course. You don't want to, this is being recorded, right? Hopefully she's not going to watch this. But you know what I mean. You have the power of choosing and determination in your house. And when your children are obedient and you all row together, all goes well in your house. Why is this important? Well, it's because your children, as you know, they're completely dependent upon you, whether they know it or not, right? They might suppress it. They might choose to ignore it, but they're completely dependent upon you. And so is our relationship with our good Father in heaven. So is our relationship with Him. He gives us good gifts. We are more important than the flowers of the field or the birds of the air. One day He will complete a good work in us. And all things work together for good for those who called according to His purpose. So men, this morning here, as we close here, I want to go way back to the book of Joshua here. Back at the book of Joshua, and if you know Joshua, you know, the Jews are going to go into the promised land. They're in the promised land, and there's a lot of battles and fighting that happens, you know. They're about to partake in the milk and honey while Joshua is really on his deathbed, okay? So Joshua reminds them, though, as he goes on passing, he reminds them, don't forget who's in charge. Don't forget who's in charge here. So take a look at Joshua 24, 11 through 15, and I'm going to skip a little bit through the end here for the sake of time. It says here, "Then you who crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, as also did the Amorites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Hivites, and Jebusites." Lots of vites. "But what did I do? I gave them into your hands. I gave them into your hands. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove them out before you, and also two of the Amorite kings. You did not do it with your own bow and sword. So I gave you into a land which you did not toil, and cities you did not build. And you live in them, and eat from the vineyards and the groves that you did not plant." And then toward the end there it says, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You see, when we make it all about us in our proverbial post-game interview here, when we suppress and we forget and we ignore, when it's our will, when it's our power of choosing a determination, we're missing the bigger mission. And it's pretty futile as well, too. We're missing that God did it, God's doing it, and God will do it. God did it, God's doing it, and God will do it. So how do we know what He wants us to do? For one, we got to know the business plan. We got to know the overall business plan. And how do we figure that out? Well, we have Scripture. We have Scripture. We are to love God, we are to love our neighbor, and we are to make disciples. We preach the word in season and out of season. And whatever we do, as it says in Colossians, with my edits here, whatever we do in the boardroom, on the golf course, at your son's baseball game, in the line at Kroger, we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, the one that owns the global business plan here, that we roll up to. So men, go make your plans. Go make your plans. Go create value. Go and lead. But always remember who is in charge. Be transformed by His grace. Remember His faithfulness. And submit to His will. It will go well with your souls. Let me pray for us. Father God, we know so many times, even in addition to Scripture, when we are not abiding in Your will because we're fearful and anxious when we think it's all about us and everything's riding on us. Father God, You give us a mind, You give us hands and feet and family and resources that we steward for the benefit of Your kingdom, Lord, and that gives You glory when we're doing it for You, just as if our children do what they do for our honor and glory. Lord, that delights our heart. And so when we do it for You and we steward these things, we delight Your heart. So, Father God, let us rest in the fact that You are already delighted in each and every one of us here today. Lord, that we go forth with this place being peacemakers and good stewards of Your overall global plan for this world. We pray all of these things in Your name. Amen. Have fun at your tables.